seriously good to be with you guys in person. We've been praying about that since March. It's been like, your worlds have been upside down, so has ours, and trying to figure out, all right, what does this look like? On the front end tonight, I just want to encourage you all with this, and maybe this kind of gives you a peek into what we're thinking about ministry-wise this year, and just like, how do we connect with God, and how do we connect with each other, and what does this all mean? What can we plan on going forward? So, from my perspective, just like everybody else back in March when the world turned upside down, we like threw all our stuff online, right? Our small groups met via Zoom, and we did discipleship stuff by Zoom, and we did teaching stuff online, and it's like, and when I asked students what was going on in their lives, here's the response I got overall. They're like, yeah, that's working. I mean, like, I've been meeting with my small group, and it's okay. I did not hear a lot of stories of, like, deep life change, life transformation. And here's one of the things that I think we learned this past spring, and this shouldn't be a shocker, certainly not a shocker to any of you. We need each other. Like, we need each other. And a digital version of each other ain't the same. It's not the same. And so as we prayed through that as a staff, we were like, you know what? If we have to do small groups of three people this year, then we'll do small groups of three people. Like, we'll shrink our ministry down to a space where it's like we can have less people in more spaces instead of more people in less spaces. God can work in any of those iterations of that, but we want to release that into this year. So even if we can't do this, even if state standards go backwards or whatever and we have to change the way that we do our gather groups, I'm still committed to us being together in each other's lives, being able to look in each other's eyes and say, you know what, you can go further, you can go deeper. God's got a purpose for you on this planet. We need it, y'all. We need it with each other. There are the people who I've been praying for the most, and there are a lot of them, I promise, right now, are living in apartments around campus and living on campus, and they are in dark places right now because they don't know what to do. They haven't made friends on this campus. Classes are all online, and they're sitting in these spaces being like, God, why am I even here? I'm praying that we, as the body of Christ, to be reaching into those spaces and loving on people and drawing them close. We have room for them. There's empty chairs in the back that they can fit in this building, and we'll be good with having them here. Right along lines with that, as I get moving, I only have a short amount of time tonight, so I'm going to try to make it short and sweet. But I want to talk a little bit on the front end just about core lies, because each of us, if I could get you into a space where you're honest enough with me, you might peel back the layers and say, yeah, here's this core lie that I struggle with. This isn't something you tell many people about, right? Just that 1-2 a.m. conversation where you're honest enough with your roommate where it's like, yeah, this is what I struggle with. I want to talk about a core lie tonight that isn't that, though. I want to talk about a core lie that's true for me and you and everybody else in this room and on this campus, something every human being is sitting right on the surface, even though we don't like to talk about it. Three words. You are alone. You are alone. I promise everybody in this room struggles with some form of that. Introvert, extrovert, I don't care who you are. That there is this space in your heart that has this fear that says, I'm alone, that people don't like me, people don't want to be with me, that I won't find somebody who does want those things, whether that's a friend or a relationship or something else. That even the people who are right now might just be pretending because they want something from me. Man, that's an ugly lie. But all of us deal with some form of that lie. I promise that you are alone. And God speaks into that space. When Jesus is asked, Matthew 25, I believe, 28, Matthew 22, it's neither of those things. Matthew 22, when Jesus is asked what the greatest commandment is, what does he respond with? Anybody? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I heard love God, and I heard the other one out there too, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two responses from him. So when Jesus is asked to sum up all of the law, all of the rules, all 600 and some commands that were given in the Old Testament, he said, without hesitation, he said, I can do that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I was younger in the faith, I thought that command was given like for God's benefit. Like he's in charge, I'm the servant, and so he tells me this is what you're supposed to do, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's the way I'm supposed to respond. Like God needs me to do those things. Yeah, God doesn't need me to do those things. That command is not about him. He's fine without me, okay? Like he's set. His character, his sovereignty, it's all set. He doesn't need me, he wants me. The invitation is for me. The invitation is for me to live in a different space. The invitation is for me to be connected to him, because that's the way a relationship with him works. The invitation is for me to be connected with each other, because that's the way we're all wired. You need God and you need each other, period. Jesus reveals that when he gives us that commandment. And we live in dark spaces when we don't behave that way, when we pretend that we can do it on our own. Those commands were given for our benefit. Now, the theme that we have this year is this Greek word soma, which means body. And there's nothing mysterious about that. It's like it really is a one-for-one translation. Like this thing right here, this is, you know, my body. This is my soma. This is what's connected. But this is a very important metaphor for Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, on how we are to behave with each other, how we're to treat each other, how we're to think about each other. And Paul started a bunch of these churches, and all these churches start having problems, and so he gives them this metaphor of the body to help them understand what it means to love each other, to be with each other. The idea there is that Christ is the head of the body, and you and I make up parts of the body. So like if we're just talking about the people in this room, it's like one of you is an eyeball, one of you is a hand, one of you is a spleen, they got a kidney thrown in here somewhere. It's like gathered together, we represent the body. There are so many lessons in that, you guys. And the cool thing is, at least this is cool for me, I hope it's cool for you too, Corinth, which is the book that we'll be studying all year long, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, was a broken body. I've named this sermon series Lessons from a Broken Body because it's a church that got soma incredibly wrong. Like, so we're going to learn how to do community the right way from a group of people who did community terribly. Like, terribly. It was broken. And to give you a little background on Corinth, crazy place, all right? So even those of you who don't know your geography well recognize the boot, right? We got Italy. So Greece, Asia, Jerusalem, like, is down here, so Israel here. But Corinth is right here, bottom of Greece, and very, very wealthy place. And I know that we think of our culture, like when we talk about culture, we think of our culture right now as just the most progressive that it's ever been. You know, we know more than anyone has ever known. We have different values. Like, that's kind of baked into the way that we see the world and the way that we see history. You guys, if you read about the time that Jesus walked the earth, you'd be blown away. All right? The Greeks in 200-300 BC, we come out of what's like the golden age of Greek philosophy. We have all the great Greek philosophers who influenced your education system big time today. We still use their educational philosophies today. So there was the worship within the Greeks of the idea, of intellectualism, of intellectual superiority, huge worship of the body, fitness, sexuality. And so when we look at Corinth, which is sitting on the bottom of Greece, like this was a place where Greek thought and Greek culture was high, okay? And again, even talking about sexuality, in Corinth, one of the temples to the goddess Aphrodite had 1,200 temple prostitutes, okay? So you think our culture is sexually progressive? We don't have synagogues, you know, temples sitting on a corner where you've got 1,200 prostitutes hanging out waiting for you to worship with them, all right? We're pretty Victorian compared to what's going on with the Greeks. That was kind of a nerdy joke. I'm sorry. All you English majors are like, this is the best. All right, so here's the other thing. Then the Roman Empire rolls through this whole thing and takes over, and they rule with an iron fist. I mean, Caesar rules the Roman Empire, and Caesar is a deity in the eyes of the Roman people. And so you don't, you know, have a protest against Rome, or you just lose your head, all right? That's the way that things... So you have this incredible political pressure with a tyrant of Caesar, and you have this unbelievably progressive culture coming out of the Greeks. This is what Jesus walked around in, you guys. This was what Jesus walked around in. We are not unique today. The human struggle has always been the same, whether we're talking about sexuality, whether we're talking about politics. Everybody has had their own complexity that they live in. And this was where Corinth sat. So Paul goes and he plants this church in Corinth, and of course, it just they absorb a bunch of the stuff from the culture of their city, and it's a mess. I'm tempted to go into it right now, but in future weeks, I'll talk about just how messed up this church was, not just the city, but this church. So Paul, in a very tender way, well, he writes an angry email, okay? I mean, it's not an email, it's what we have in 1 Corinthians, but I wouldn't have wanted, I didn't. At some point, they read this letter to the people in that church, and I'd pay money to sit in the back corner and watch people's response, all right? This is an angry letter of an apostle who's like, let me remind you of a few things. So one of those tender things that comes out of Paul's heart is soma. Let me give you the metaphor of the body on how you should be treating each other, because the way you're treating each other is broken. This is what it means to be together, Paul says. Man, this is appropriate for us tonight. Starts in verse 12. Here we go. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, and not just one part. If the foot says, I am not the part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require that special care. So God's put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Man, so much there. So much there. And before I want to just very quickly raise 4 points out of that to the surface. But before I do, let me offer you this reminder. This is just sort of a ministry philosophy, and it's true every year, but especially this year, okay? It is not my job to feed you a meal right now. I'm giving you an appetizer. That's it. That's all I got time for in this space. You, between you and the Lord somewhere, that can't happen in your small group either. It's not up to your small group facilitator to try to facilitate. Like, there is a space where I want you to take these scriptures to the Lord this week and meet with Him in a deeper and different way and ask, God, what do I need to hear in this? What do I need to hear in this? I've got parallel scriptures that we use the Bible app and some other stuff. You'll cover it in your small groups. We've got parallel scriptures. Stay in those all week. Marinate in it. Let it soak in. In the same way, your small group can't be community for you this year. It can give you a taste of it. It can be the start of it, but the full meal is up to you. That's something that you'll have to fight for beyond that. But in that process, I want to raise out 4 things that I'm hoping I can just name right now as an appetizer, and you'll make them the meal later, okay? So here we go. First one is this. We are one. Paul starts the passage this way. He's very clear that we should be united together. This was a huge priority for Jesus. There should not be division in the body. Part of my role with you is to build you up and love on you and bring you in. I should do my best not to create division. There are automatically things that divide us. I shouldn't be creating extra hurdles there. That's not my role. I'm not going to talk about this much tonight because we're going to talk about this a lot a couple times from now when we meet. But the actual, in verse 25, the Greek word that Paul uses there is schisma. You recognize that? Schism. It's a division of 2 different things. And he says there can't be those in the body. That's obvious, right? I mean, like, you don't have to be, like, take an anatomy class to understand that things should be connected in your body. Schisms are bad. You don't want those together. We'll cover that more a few weeks from now. The next one is we discover our gifts, who we are. We don't choose those things. Did you notice in the passage that Paul made it very clear that Christ is the head? You aren't the head. And Paul made it very clear that God distributed the gifts of the body just as he wanted them to be. That means that if you're a hand, no matter how bad you want to be an eye, you aren't an eye. And you can come up to me afterwards and be like, yeah, I wanted to be an eye. And I'll be like, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, I could want to be 6'7". It just wasn't in the cards. Like somewhere along the lines that was decided for me and I didn't get to be that. Okay, I didn't really want to be 6'7" anyway. But regardless, the eye doesn't, if you spend your whole life as a hand complaining that you're not an eye, you're not really a great part of the body, all right? As a matter of fact, you've probably created division in that space. We don't get that choice. We don't get that choice. You can fight that idea, but it's like fighting the wind. And connected to that idea is this idea that I have a gift, and so do you. So some of you may be sitting here right now that you're like, well, I'm sure that's true for some people, but I just don't know what that is. You might not know it. That doesn't mean you don't have one. You are a part of the body, period. And that means the body doesn't function well without you. You're crucial within the body of Christ. You hear me? You are not extra. You're not spare parts that are laying around in case somebody else drops off. The body isn't working right when you are not a part of it. We need you. And when I say we, I'm not talking about Encounter. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I'm talking about a bigger picture than this room that connects all of us on campus who follow him under whatever name that we use. I am crucial, and so are you. And so it's within me to discover. I don't get to choose my gifting, but I do get to pray and seek out God to say, all right, God, how am I connected to the body? The third one is this: we honor each other. We honor each other. Because they're all different gifts that are represented in the room, they're all different, which means that I can choose to either make fun of your gift, or I can talk to other gifts about how your gift isn't necessary, which is creating more division, or I can honor you. I can recognize how much you're needed. In that passage, some people might think it's weird that Paul actually kind of calls out sexual body parts. You notice that in there where he's talking about modesty and how we clothe some parts? Like that's, you know what he's talking about there, all right? We give special dignity to some parts because they're supposed to be hidden. It doesn't mean they're not important. Those are important parts for us. In the same way in the body of Christ, there are people who are behind the scenes. There are people who are not noticed. Does that mean they're not important? No, but we should treat them with special dignity. Paul's saying we should raise them up. We should encourage them. We should celebrate those gifts because they're important. Like, I haven't thought about my pituitary gland much today, but I'm kind of glad it's there, right? It's well hidden, okay? Like, but in the body of Christ, those things that are well hidden are important. There's the encouragement in there for you too, where if you're like, I'm hidden, I think I know my gift, but man, I don't think other people notice it. You know what? It doesn't mean it's not important. It might even be that much more important so that it's hidden. Last one in here, the fourth point. We value diversity of the giftings. Diversity in the world often brings division. I am here to tell you tonight, diversity in the body of Christ is to bring unity, is to tie us together. You see a common thread of humility throughout all of these. Why? Because if I truly am a hand and you truly are an eye, then I need you. I need you. You're crucial to me. Like me wanting you to fail is wanting myself to fail. Like there's even that idea where we're just tied to each other so much that I have to value you, because to not value you is to not value me, and to not value either of us is to dishonor the head. So Paul gives us this idea that helps us understand we're connected to God as the head, right? Body and head are supposed to be connected, and we're connected to each other in the body because the body parts are supposed to be connected. It's pretty easy, like a metaphor he's given us here to follow. But it means that you matter to me, which is why he ends it with, if one part suffers, what happens? All the parts suffer. One part suffers, all the parts suffer. We celebrate one part, all the parts celebrate. It's that kind of unity in the body of Christ that is a beautiful, beautiful picture, in my opinion. You understand this from a physical perspective, that there's only so long that you could go without air, 3 minutes, water, 3 days, right? Your body starts shutting down if you don't have the things that you need. I want to remind you tonight, on the front end of the school year, you can physically live this school year without being connected to God and without being connected to each other, but you will not live well. I promise that you will have a miserable year if you disconnect from the Lord and you completely disconnect from each other, and the only thing that you're left with is your own thought life. It's a miserable place to be. I don't hate myself, y'all, but I don't want to be left alone with myself for the next 4 months. That's not a good space. I need God speaking into my life as to who I am, and I need other people as the hands and feet and voice of Christ to be doing that for me. That is what we're supposed to be doing with and for each other. I'm very tired of the conversation in our culture right now that just I feel like we switch from talking about whether COVID is the most important thing or our economy is the most important thing, and it's just this binary conversation with anyone and everyone, and it makes my head hurt because I've had so many private conversations with people who are struggling with mental health right now, depression, anxiety. Quote a month ago from the director of the CDC who was talking about in high schools right now, COVID is a less of a, like the high school age, COVID is a less of a concern right now than suicide, according to him. I want the people who are sitting in spaces, in dark spaces on campus right now, to know the connection they need with the Lord and to know the connection they need with each other. I'm praying for it all the time. I'm asking you to pray for it all the time, that we find those people who are in those lost spaces and reach out to them as a part of the body. So, so, so crucial right now. Let me give you two final encouragements, and then I'm going to kick you out to your small groups. One is this. Those two different ideas, one being that we need to be connected to God, and the other is that we need to be connected to each other. God has his hand extended firmly to you. Like, he hasn't gone anywhere, all right? It's there. He's unchanged. Paul gives us this promise in Romans. Just let it wash over you. I just want you to hear these words. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or we're persecuted or hungry or we're destitute or we're in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life or angels or demons or fears from today or worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's God's hand extended to you. That is God's hand extended to you. You get to choose whether or not you're going to grab it this year. But the other thing is, these are the people around you this year that you can take hold of, that you can be honest with, that you can be authentic with, that you can pour your life into, and that you can accept them pouring their life back into you. You need each other. This year more than ever, you need each other. Voices out on this campus who need you too. And I'm asking you to lean into that. No, I'm not asking you to lean into it. I'm asking you to fight for it this year. Because by default, the current is carrying you away from that. So you're going to have to fight the current hard this year if you want to be connected to the Lord and you want to be connected to each other. So let me be a voice in your ear tonight that's just reminding you that it's worth it. It's worth it to fight for that to be a spiritual discipline that you make real between you and the Lord this year. Make that decision with him tonight. Be like, God, you know what? This year belongs to you, and I will open my eyes to the people around me who need you. So that's all the appetizer time I have right now, all right? The meal is yet to be had in your small groups and beyond it in your time with the Lord this week. So let me pray. We'll send you out just a little thereafter. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for not going anywhere. Worldwide pandemic or not, you are right by our side, that you have business to do on this campus. And I gotta ask, just ask that you would break into those dark spaces, the students who are struggling, who need a hand, they need a set of eyes they can look into to remind them that they have value, to remind them that you love them. And I just pray that you would do that work, Lord. in a way that blows us away beyond our expectations. Holy Spirit, do that work. In your name we pray. Amen.